On this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show, we talk about how Sonic Mania for the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One actually has its roots in mobile gaming, as well as all the other cool news stories of the week. Then we move on to discuss Super Phantom Cat 2, Zlatan Legends, Jazz Smash, Peace Out, and Data Wing. Stick with us.
I know a magical place we could go, so close your eyes and make a wish. For the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Touch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Touch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 320, recording on August 18th, 2017, the Friday before the great eclipse passes over the United States.
Exciting.
Is that a thing anyone in California cares about?
Yeah, we're supposed to be able to see it here.
We are actually driving down to St. Louis. We're going to meet up with the Butterscotch Shenanigans people.
Awesome.
Crash there and then go a little bit farther south to Carbondale, Illinois, where they're doing this whole NASA program and stuff for the eclipse. So
wow,
should be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited for it. The last like full lunar eclipse that I remember, I don't even think it was a full lunar eclipse. The last eclipse I remember seeing was like when I was a kid and you built like the weird little shoebox viewer thing. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy. Like we the Chicago area is within like a, I don't know, like 4-ish hour drive to the zone where you can, like, it'll be in complete darkness when the eclipse like passes over at two in the afternoon or whatever it is. So it's what's so amusing. I'm sorry, I'll get the show on the road soon, but I just this has been really amusing to me, and anyone that's inside the anywhere near the path of the eclipse probably is noticing the same thing. But like, so astronomers know what's going to happen as far as the positioning of planets and everything else for, I don't know, years, you know, because it's all just physics math, right? So people have known that this eclipse is going to be a thing for however far out they can calculate the movement of the moon and the sun, which I feel like is pretty far out. But the frenzy for eclipse glasses in like the last 2 days here has just been unbelievable. Because like what happened was Amazon, there's all these eclipse glasses on Amazon, but they were like these weirdo, like we ordered some, but they're just like sunglasses. So Amazon eventually like pulled all the eclipse glasses down except the ones that are like rated and certified, whatever they're supposed to be to actually be safe, and refunded everyone that had ordered like the crappy ones, which, you know, includes the ones that we ordered. So supply and demand has made eclipse glasses on Amazon be ridiculously expensive and like similarly locally and stuff like that. But thankfully the event we're going to provides them, so I don't need to flip out. But it's just been so amusing, like watching people on Facebook like this morning being like, oh God, where do I get eclipse glasses from? There's going to be an eclipse on Monday. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's just amusing, I guess. I don't know. So hopefully if you are going to an eclipse on Monday, hope you're enjoying this podcast while you drive.
I'm just going to stare at it straight. I don't care.
Just look at it straight on.
Yeah, if it blinds me, I feel like that's a pretty unique and cool way to get blinded, because there's only so many eclipses.
Have you looked to see the Sacramento area, how much of it you're going to be able to see? I feel like you're pretty northern California, so it should be pretty good.
Well, we, the line it's on, I mean, we're pretty south from where it's ideal, but I think we're going to get like 99% of it or something.
Yeah, I've never been in the, never had the opportunity to be like in the eclipse where it's going to be dark. I think it'll be really cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. But anyway, if this is the very first time you've downloaded this podcast, it's actually not a podcast about eclipses, even though you might be like,
damn it.
Is this the Touch Arcade Show? Or maybe you're on the other side of things. You're like, oh shit, I wanted this.
I was trying
to find an eclipse podcast. But anyway, thanks a ton for downloading. If this is the first time you've heard this podcast, I'm Eli, and with me is Jared. Between two of us, we've got nearly 20 years of experience covering mobile games, specifically on TouchArcade.com, which really is the best place to go for iOS game news, reviews, and things like that. And most of it applies to Android, too, so don't feel left out if you don't have an iPhone. This podcast is basically a recap of the week, both news stories and cool games we're talking about. If you back us on Patreon, you get a video version of the podcast where you can kind of see the games we're playing and trailers from the news stories that we're talking about and things like that in real time. You can do that at patreon.com/TouchArcade, which is the primary way that both this podcast as well as the website is supported. If you shop on Amazon, we'd really appreciate it if you would do it through TouchArcade.com/Amazon. We get a small cut of any purchases you make through there at absolutely no cost to you. It's a really good way to also support the site and the podcast without doing anything extra, really, other than going to a different link. If you watch video games on Twitch, we are on twitch.tv/TouchArcade. And if you like chatting on Discord, we got a really cool Discord server at discord.gg/TouchArcade. And of course, we always appreciate iTunes reviews. We got one this week from Rui, which I actually don't have in front of me right now. That was on my checklist.
Oh my gosh, you need to recheck your checklist.
We'll read it next week. Sorry about that.
I can read it off real quick if you want.
Sure, if you got it handy.
Thank you, Rui, for the podcast review titled, Are You Tired of Candy Crush? Maybe you've only played Angry Birds, but you've played it every day since it came out. Maybe you only play Candy Crush, but you've sunk hours into it. Even if you only play one game, you're a gamer. And wouldn't you occasionally like more games? But let's admit it, the App Store can be overwhelming. How to find the good games? Your first step might be to visit the TouchArcade website, but you should also check out this podcast. Eli and Jared discuss the latest news in gaming and talk about some of that week's new games. TouchArcade curates the games for you, weeding out the great games from the weak ones. The hosts are congenial and frequently laugh out loud funny, and their love for games and gaming shines through in their podcast. Thank you very much, Rui. Yeah.
Thanks. We always appreciate iTunes views. I feel like they do something other than make us smile, so it's appreciated. And of course, if you want to email us for any reason, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. And with that, that completes my beginning of show checklist, so we can get on with the show here.
So let's talk about that eclipse a little more.
Yeah, listen, I'll talk about the eclipse all day. I don't give a shit. So I wanted to talk about first things first. It's kind of tangentially related, but we'll kind of bring it all home, even though this is a Switch, PS4, and Xbox One game. So Sonic Mania came out on Tuesday this week, right?
Something
like that, Monday, Tuesday. It's out now. Whenever it came out, so it's a $20 downloadable title on the Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and I want to say it's coming to Steam next week,
29th.
29th, okay, yeah, so 10, 11 days from now. But it's an outstanding game. Like, if and, really you know, it's worth highlighting that if you have the ability to purchase this on any system that's currently available now, or even on PC, in a week and a half or so, you really should, because I feel like Sonic as a franchise has sort of lost its way in one way or another in recent years, right? And this just really brings it home, like how much better Sonic games used to be, I think.
Yeah, it's really kind of like amazing to me that I don't know, we've gone 20 plus years where even like, you know, actual Sega Sonic Team developers have struggled to really kind of find what it was that made those original games so great. And these guys nailed it. It's like fascinating to me how good this game is and how well designed it is, and how much it's almost like the great Genesis and Sega CD games, but like amped up to 11. And so it's not even just like a rehash or just being like, here's the old games with some new levels or whatever, not much else. It's like those games, but taken to the next level with tons of new mechanics and tons of just neat visual things that you couldn't have done on the Genesis back in the day. And just so many things that are right about this game. And I just think it's crazy that it was really just designed and created by hardcore Sonic fans that apparently really understood what went into making those original games so great and were able to kind of recapture it. And at the same time, celebrate the originals while also moving the whole thing forward with brand new stuff. and I just can't say enough good things about it. It's my favorite game right now, hands down.
It's seriously just unbelievable how good it is. And like, yeah, you know, I thought the various episodic Sonic 4 games, like those were pretty good.
Yeah, they never really felt right. I like them on their own, but I don't feel like they were connected to the original games really in any way other than like, look, it was 2D and old school, right?
Right.
But it wasn't.
I don't know. It's so cool. So this game, just to give a bit of a history lesson on this, Christian Whitehead originally did this kind of like Sonic CD demo back in 2009. And the whole point of this was like to show off that he'd been working on this thing called the Retro Engine. He totally rebuilt Sonic CD, and now it's running on the iPhone and iPod Touch.
Well, it's funny because he was like building this on his own kind of silently. And then one day Sega took to Twitter and was like, hey, fans, what kind of games do you want to see on mobile? And he was like, well, since you asked, how about this? And everyone was like, oh, my God, yes.
No, it seriously broke my brain when this video came out.
Yeah.
Or like the teaser trailer that was, you know, a response to this. I was just like, what the? Like something that you would never expect to happen, right? Like if you read through the responses to any tweet like that, you'd expect like memes and, you know, dumb responses and, you know, people saying dumb shit, but not like, hey, here's this like full blown out trailer that I made of the Sonic CD thing that is totally working right now. So
crazy stuff,
which is really cool. So it's really neat to see that the guy that made this effectively as like a passion project is now releasing a real deal Sonic game. That's a new Sonic game with the blessing of Sega and like
everything. Well, he created a mainline Sonic game, and for all intents and purposes this is Sonic 4. And even Sega themselves, like you could see in the little intro animation thing or whatever, is, you know, Sonic's pressing the buttons on the elevator and it lists all the games. 1, 2, 3, Knuckles, and then this. Yeah. No mention of Sonic 4, no mention of any other Sonic. Like, this is the spiritual sequel to those original games. So, like, that's crazy to me. Like, just as somebody that a few short years ago was really just a hardcore fan.
Right.
And sort of like part-time developer, you know, hacker scene guy.
Hardcore fan might be a bit of an understatement, but yeah.
But like now it's like, hey, I made a legit game for Sonic with Sega. It's official. It's part of the mainline series. That's crazy to me. Like that's amazing.
So I just felt like it was worth mentioning as like, it kind of feels like it plays into the history of at least like the mobile ports, if nothing else. But at the same time, like given the roots of like why this whole project actually exists, it seems like it's really not a stretch to think this will eventually come to mobile, right? In some form or another.
I think it'd be weird if it didn't. And I can't think of like a reason why not, except if Sega maybe thought like we keep our mobile stuff separate from console or something for, you know, prestigious value, or I don't know. I can't think of a reason why, because as far as I know, this Sonic Mania is built using the same engine, the same methods that Christian Whitehead and company used for all the Sonic remasters with Sega, Sonic CD and Sonic 1 and 2. So I'm sure the touch controls would work fine. They work great on those games. I can't see any reason why they would not release this on mobile eventually. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, we just got it. I kind of wish that they would have done like same day and date with mobile and just been like, hey, it's $20 everywhere. Buy it wherever you want. Like,
I would have loved that. You know,
and if we sell 20 copies on mobile, like that's cool, because it wasn't any more work to, you know, just throw some virtual controls on there and stuff like that, because our engine is that portable kind of thing.
I would say that maybe there's more potential for people double dipping if it's consoles first, and then people that are eager are going to buy it just to play it right away. And then, you know, 6 months from now, it's like, hey, it's also on mobile now, too. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would be like, well, I'd like to have it on my phone.
That's cool. Fair.
Or maybe they want to release it for a cheaper price, but can't really justify doing that so close to the console game.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But, no, that's true. I mean, I definitely like, you know, if it comes out on mobile in a, you know, 6 months or whatever, it's $10. Like, I would buy it without hesitation. But
absolutely,
you know, if it was like, all right, it's 20 on mobile, 20 on Switch, 20 on PS4, I'd probably just buy it on my phone and like not buy it anything else.
Yeah, I kind of agree. So although I'm loving it, it's a good game with actual buttons.
Yeah, very good. The levels are really long and very complex, and like just an outstanding game overall. Just unbelievable.
You know what actually freaks me out about that is I was playing last night, and it's like the fast parts are so complex, but like so well designed.
Yeah.
You know, like Sonic is part of it's like running around, jumping around, exploring, kind of taking your time or trying to hit every enemy or get every coin or ring. But, and then there's parts where you kind of like, it's like you jumped on the roller coaster and you're going down the hills, you're going through the loops, you're doing all these things. And it's kind of like you're just sitting and watching. And they've designed so many of those parts in all the different levels. But there's also, it's not just like sitting back and watching. Like there's a lot of things where you have leeway, even though you're hauling ass around the screen all crazy, you know, you can choose which path to take. And, you know, there's a bunch of divergent paths and things like that. And I just can't wrap my brain around how somebody can design levels for this game.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be impossible.
They're all complex too. It's not like, it's not like the, cause I feel like most Sonic games, like the first, like, I don't know, like, you know, five or six levels or whatever, you can basically beat by just holding right. You know, but like these, like right out the gate, like the first two levels are like, damn, like I'm losing my rings and like actually having to like think about what I'm doing and things like that. Yeah. And each level has a unique boss fight that just like the amount of care that went into this is just bananas. And like, hey. I haven't even gotten to the point of playing through with Knuckles either. So,
no, I'm still on my first playthrough. But the other thing that I think is amazing is, they designed a lot of like, there's a lot of sort of like one-time weird gimmick things, you know, certain things you can do in certain levels or whatever, you know, like the popcorn machine in Studiopolis and things like that, where they feel super like they could have been part of the original games on the Genesis or whatever. And I think that speaks to the talent of this team too, that they can create new elements like that, but they don't feel out of place or feel like they're just throwing things in there just to throw in new things or whatever.
Yeah.
They all feel like things that are part of the cohesive, you know, original Sonic universe or whatever. And I think that's really impressive. So
yeah, the whole thing's amazing. Like, I feel like we could spend an hour talking about how great this
game is. But, can we just keep talking about it?
So anyway, as I said before, Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC pretty soon. So if you have any of those platforms and are even, I would say like, The reason to buy this primarily is if like you've played any Sonic game since like the Dreamcast era and beyond and been like, man, this sucks. Like, you know, I wish they would make Sonic games like the good old days, you know, like the old Genesis Sonic games. Like, this is it. This is what you've been waiting for. And it's very good. And if you don't have the four platforms that's available on now, I would be shocked if it didn't come to mobile eventually. But, you know, who knows? We'll see. So, yeah.
Oh, and
what?
Yeah, I wrote a little first impressions thing too on our site, so yeah, be sure to give that a read.
You want
to
check that out? Yeah, just search for Sonic Mania on Touch Arcade, you'll find it. So this is kind of exciting news. Six Ages, which is the spiritual successor, they're calling it, to King of Dragon Pass. And if you don't remember King of Dragon Pass, it came out in 2011, I want to say off the top of my head. It was a, like an ancient PC game that really was one of those games that like felt like it was at home when it finally hit the iPad, you know, because it's like I would describe it as like Civilization meets choose your own adventure game, I guess. Super complicated, super deep, like one of those games you can play a million times and you know, really never have the same two things happen twice. Except the duck people you come across. Those guys are always consistently jerks in any game that you play. But anyway, so they've been teasing Six Ages now for, 3 years ago, they first like announced it as a thing that was coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was one of those games that we got all excited for and then it just sort of vanished.
Yeah.
So the cool thing is that, it's feature complete now and moving into like an official alpha stage, which hopefully means that, you know, internal testing goes well and they move to a beta, hopefully involving our forums. And then after that, it will get released and be as awesome as I hope it will be.
Yeah, it's got a lot to live up to.
Because King of Dragon Pass is a really good game, but it, you know, it definitely felt old even when you played it when it first came out on iOS. Like as a new iOS game, you're like, all right, this is an old PC game, but that's cool because it's still really good. Like, if you like, if they ported Fallout tomorrow, it would still be like, all right, this is an ancient PC game, but this game is amazing, so like, it doesn't really matter.
It is definitely geared for a certain audience.
Yeah. Yeah, super kind of technical RPG kind of simulation kind of person. If that describes you and you haven't heard of King of Dragon Pass, you should look it up and play it on whatever platform you feel like playing it on, which I think is just PC and mobile right now. Mm. Really good game. I'm definitely going to be following this Six Ages news very closely, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Real quick, the Minecraft Better Together update that we kind of that was teased at E3 and stuff, which has, you know, the community marketplace stuff and all this other junk. Oh, I can't play video full screen.
Wow. What did you break?
Nothing yet. I kind of break stuff. Anyway, this adds like the better graphics mode and like all the cross-platform stuff. It's supposed to be coming out a lot sooner than this, but it got delayed a little bit, which, you know, whatever. It's fine. Take your time.
I'd rather get something like this right the first time.
Yeah, release it when it's ready to go and not when it's a janky, bug-filled disaster.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 4 Champion Edition. I always want to say Championship Edition. I feel like every single time I write about this, I write Championship Edition and then publish it and then like read it 10 minutes later. I'm like, oh, shit. Did it again.
I think they did that just to mess with people, like
just to mess with us. Yeah. So they're getting. Did this update land? We posted this on the.
It is out.
So it should be. Yeah. Okay. Evil Ryu, Guy, and Guken. Are added as new characters. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a non-story, but at the same time, it's cool to see that like they're actively supporting this game.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with this game that have not been addressed in even in this update, but it's really kind of just stuff that I would say super hardcore players are nitpicking about. I think in general, if you just kind of like playing this game for fun, this is a good thing. Just three new characters, and there's still three more to come, and whatever. But if you're very, very serious about the online competition and stuff like that, there's still a lot of problems, namely just that they don't really penalize anybody that rage quits out of games, and that's kind of just screwed everything up for everybody. But the game is also...
Wouldn't you get a win then in that situation?
It doesn't do it that way, no. And it goes against like a rage quit counter on your profile or whatever, but that doesn't like mean anything. It doesn't mean you get, you know, matched up with a different set of people that are also rage quitters or anything like that. Like, there's definitely some countermeasures they could implement that they have not yet.
So wait, I don't know if they plan on it. What happens when someone quits then? They don't just stand there and you are able to just beat them? Does the game just end?
The game just ends, I believe. Huh. And it's weird because I want to say it was Street Fighter Tekken on iPhone or something, the game that's not around anymore, had like AI. So if somebody quit, you would finish the match against AI. And it would just, you know, post the score however it was or whatever, which I think is a way better solution. But I don't know. Whatever.
It's kind of surprising to me still that in, you know, 2017 that the developers haven't, not even this game specifically, but a bunch of games haven't built in things for what to do when your opponent or people on your team rage quit.
It feels like there should be a lot more that can be done. I mean, there are solutions out there. I think in this case, it's just how much effort and, more importantly, how much money is Capcom willing to devote to this thing more above what they're already doing. So,
because like like Splatoon 2 on the Switch, there's no consolation prize at all or anything that happens if like someone on your team disconnects or quits or whatever else, which kind of screws you over because like the loss still counts as like a full loss, even if you had like one dude on your team just, you know, stop playing or whatever, which really sucks. I mean, because it's when it's not like 4-on-4 or like the Salmon Run mode, which is 4 versus AI opponents, like you are at a serious disadvantage even without like one person. So I don't know, it's just so strange that developers don't figure out that sort of thing.
I'd be curious to know like how large the online player base is for this game, because if it's significant, I feel like Capcom should jump in and do something about it. But if it's just like not, I can't really see them devoting any more attention to it. I mean, we'll probably get this next update that has three more characters, and that'll probably be it. So
yeah, I mean, you know, a $5 game in the App Store 2017 couldn't have sold more than like 30,000 copies.
Yeah.
So just as kind of a follow-up to the Pokemon Go Fest that we talked about quite a bit after it was in Chicago, I guess the Pokemon Go event in Japan took place over the span of 7 days, and there was I think they say over 2 million people that eventually came out, which I guess went off without a hitch, so that's cool. But so what I'm kind of curious of this though is like, because it was an event that I guess people could just come out, kind of sort of whenever, like, was that all they really needed instead of it being like, all right, 8 hours, everyone cram into this one place,
I really
let's
think
do
it would
it.
have been off if they had done the Chicago event this way. I think it would have been a much better experience.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if it was like a permitting thing or something else, because this just makes so much more sense. Because, like, if it was just a, oh, yeah, swing up at any point in this next week and participate in this Pokemon Go stuff, we'll have, like, I don't know, like, a couple tents handing out swag during like daytime hours or whatever. Like, you totally would have gone up there on like a random Wednesday and probably had a really good time, and no cellular networks would have been overloaded or anything else. So, I don't know. I guess it's good that this went well, because for the future of the game, I feel like it would be very bad if Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago bombed and then they had similar problems in Japan. So, I don't know. Just worth mentioning as a follow-up. So as far as 64-bit updates is concerned, I think the most noteworthy one this week, at least as far as games that I really love, is Beat Sneak Bandit. So it got released, it's updated for 64-bit and widescreen phones, which
Yeah, it's cool. Actually, this game was one that like very the borders from not being true widescreen never really affected it.
right.
And even now it's updated, but
Well,
it
because don't you
looks
just play it
largely the
with
same.
basic swipes, right? Or taps,
Just
or
taps, but
yeah.
like even just the screen itself was the size that it is. So it wasn't really losing anything, and the background was black anyway. So it's kind of like you never noticed the borders. I'm happy that it's updated and will live on. I played through it again after it got updated just to check it out, and it was like, oh my God, this game is so awesome and unique, and just everything about it is so great.
Yeah.
I kind of
So
forgot like just how awesome it is.
if you never played Beat Sneak Bandit, it's like a stealth rhythm game, which is really, you play as like a robber kind of dude, and you kind of infiltrate these different levels where you need to move along with the beat of the music and avoid guards and things like that. It's unbelievably clever.
It's so stylish, and the music's great, and it's all really simple, kind of one tap play, not like complicated, guitar hero rhythm game, really.
Right.
It's more just like tap into the beat, and it's just fun. I just love it.
Yeah, really good game. $3. And now that it's been updated, you can conceivably play it for, I don't know, until Apple breaks something
Breaks breaks
again,
the
which
next batch, yeah.
who knows how long that'll take. As far as sales are concerned, I got three things I think to be aware of. So Guild of Dungeoneering is on sale. It's down to $3. If you've never played this, it's it's not a dungeon crawler, it's a dungeon crafter of sorts. So it's got like a card mechanic, and you kind of like drag dungeons out to build the dungeon and stuff like that. But what's really cool about it is it has like a totally unique soundtrack that kind of like sings what's happening in the game more or less to you, which is really cool. Highly worth playing. And if you do download it, make sure you play with sound on, because the first time I played it, I was like, I don't know, this seems cool. I like it, but
You turn sound on
yeah,
and
and then
we're
I,
like, whoa.
yeah, and then I turned my sound on. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. So Crashlands has sold 500,000 copies, which is pretty damn good for a $5 to $15 PC slash mobile game. So to celebrate, it's down to $2 on mobile and $10 on Steam. It's been on sale a couple times on mobile, but I always take the opportunity to post about Crashlands whenever I can, because it's very, 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 very good. So
And I don't know if this applies to the mobile version, but the Steam price drop is apparently permanent too, so it'll
I
be
think
that
the
price.
mobile is mobile sales temporary.
Oh, okay.
But
It's still cheaper either way.
yeah, really good. It's cheaper, $3. Nothing but good things to say about it. It's a crafting game that will even appeal to people that don't like crafting games. So Telltale, if you're looking to fill up your Telltale collection, Telltale is having a huge sale on most of their games, and that includes season passes inside of the game. So a lot of the season passes, like basically, the tiers seem to be like $10, $5 to $7 ish, and then $4 for the full season pass, depending on like how old the game is. So like for instance, let's see, like the original Walking Dead is $4. And like the newer like Minecraft Story Mode is actually 12 for the full season pass. So that's kind of like the spread of pricing. Their older games are also $1 each episode, so like Monkey Island Tales and Sam and Max Beyond Time and Space and stuff like that. But I would exercise caution with some of the pre-Walking Dead Telltale games, just because, although I don't know, I guess now if you're playing them on like a newer iPad, they probably can brute force their way
Maybe.
through.
I feel like it's never been a power of the hardware issue. I feel like it's always been not optimized correctly for the hardware issue.
Yeah, because like so Monkey Island Tales, Sam and Max, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, the Poker Night game, I think, like those games are all really, really rough on mobile. Like Brad actually, back when Brad was still writing for us, got kind of got into it with them about, I think it was his Jurassic Park review or whatever. That was basically like, I don't remember what he gave it, but it was something very low that was like, this is a great game, but this port is dog shit and is unbelievable they'd release
And
it.
it was totally true too. I mean,
Yeah, because it was a cool game, but like I would say borderline, if not over the line of unplayable, because it was like crashing all the time and it wouldn't save your progress. So like when you load it up again, it was like, oh cool, I have to replay 10 minutes of the shit from the last time it saved. So
not a good experience.
but anyway, I like nothing but good things to say about like the Walking Dead game season two, A New Frontier, all the like Tales from the Borderlands, that was just off the chain. The Game of Thrones one's really good. People really like The Wolf Among Us. I was never really able to get into that, but I didn't have like any kind of vested interest in the graphic novel or whatever it was based on. Minecraft Story Mode, I played the first episode of that, was really good. So I don't know, at least check them out. And it's worth mentioning that a lot of these games now are the first episode is free, so you can play the first like 2 to 3 hours or so and then decide if you want to commit to the full season pass. So definitely look into Telltale stuff this upcoming week, especially if you're taking a road trip to see the eclipse. Boom. So this is a really cool, I love stories like this when they come out. So Miracle Merchant, which is a card game that came out last week before maybe.
Maybe week before. They all blend together.
Reasonably recent. So it's by Tiny Touch Tales, the makers of Card Crawl and Card Thief, a four-card single-player solitaire game where you take a stack of four cards and combine them into potions, which eager customers are waiting to get. And what's cool about it is like the amount of strategy that they're able to squeeze out of a mechanic that's initially so basic is really kind of incredible. So they tweeted on the Twitter that the game actually originally was pitched to Nickelodeon Games as a SpongeBob burger builder, which is cool because it's like I kind of it's wild that the game mechanic itself is so solid that really any way that you skin it seems to make sense.
It would totally work. And like SpongeBob is like silly enough that like, you can mix in weird ingredients and like there's a tire in one of the cards or whatever, and you have like a tire burger or something like that. Like I feel like the combinations you can come up with would be really neat and funny and kind of work within the context of SpongeBob. So I don't know. I feel like if it came out as that and this whole thing happened, it would still be a really good game and it'd
Yeah,
probably be one of the best licensed games out
that was the
there.
crazy thing I was thinking about. I was like, damn, even like I would love this game even if it was a SpongeBob game. But I really kind of, I don't know if I've been racking my brain ever since this came out, like thinking like, was this a good thing or a bad thing that this didn't happen the way that it did? Because I almost wonder like if, like, so I feel like if it was a SpongeBob game, kids would be like, oh, I like SpongeBob, let me download this game. And I kind of think that the strategy in it might be too complicated for
I
them.
I totally agree with that, yeah.
And at the same time, I think that like the people that a highly strategic, deceptively difficult card game would appeal to would maybe not be like, oh, yeah, let me download this new SpongeBob game, but it's really good. You know,
but the stoner portion of SpongeBob fan base would love it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. So that's what's interesting about SpongeBob is that like it's not only a kids show, like there's a just massive adult following.
It is a rad show as an adult. It's really got a lot of clever in jokes and stuff.
I've actually never watched a full episode of SpongeBob.
Really? Yeah, it used to irritate me, and then I started watching it, and I'm like, this is pretty funny. And
I didn't grow up with cable, and I didn't get I think I got my first satellite dish set up when I was like, I don't know, 24 or 25 or something like that. So like I'm totally missed the boat on, I guess cable programming of any kind, including SpongeBob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought this was a really neat story because like it's crazy where games kind of or how they evolve over time. And I meant to reach out to them and ask see what the game looked like before, like, you know, if they just had like a functional prototype where games had like very basic symbols or maybe even like card suits or something like that.
Yeah,
because you think about it, like you could skin this game like a million different ways.
Yeah, you really could,
really, without any kind of issue. So I don't know, I just thought that was kind of a neat little kind of factoid sort of
thing. I'm happy with the way it ended up turning out because I love the art style in that game.
I just realized I messed up the app icon on this story. Hopefully I remember to fix that later. Similarly, the another kind of really cool story that came out this week was from the creation of Pigeon Wings, which I think we talked about 2 weeks ago, if I recall correctly.
We should just stop trying to remember when.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many games that come out and stuff moves so fast. It's like,
I think it was like 3 weeks ago.
For when I read that Dungeon Raid had its like, I don't know what it is, like the sixth anniversary or something ridiculous like that. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that. Like, same with 10 million. That was like, whoa, that was four years ago or 5 years ago or whatever. Holy cow. So Pigeon Wings is, if this is the first time you've heard of it, it is a side-scrolling kind of like flying racing game sort of thing, single player, level based kind of stuff. Really good. Like we gave it I think we gave it 5 stars in our
review. We did. Sure did.
So they posted a kind of like post-mortem image gallery of sorts on Imgur. How do you pronounce that?
I've always said Imgur.
I've heard people say Imgur.
Imgur, sure.
Too. I say Imgur. I-M-G-U-R. That's
Imgur.
So it was kind of like a postmortem of sorts with like a bunch of like concept art and sort of talked about how they did stuff, you know, which involved like a lot of emailing and you know, kind of like using SpriteKit and spreadsheets and Google Documents. And
yeah, it was a game between two people, but one of them was in the US and one of them was in, I think, like South America or something. I'd have to look up specifically where, but basically they worked remotely together online to Chile. That's
so at
South
least
America.
They're kind of sort of in the same time zone, maybe same or just a couple hours.
Yeah, which I mean, that can definitely help a lot too if you need to have a meetup or whatever, which they did. They described, you know, meeting up on Skype, I think once a week or once a month or something like that, and kind of hashing things out face to face. But also, a lot of their work was done just kind of back and forth and through collaborative documents and stuff like that. So I always think it's really interesting. And I feel like this is like, you know, the internet has such this wide potential to share information and bring people together all over the world. And it gets just misused every day for just terrible things. And I feel like this is a nice example of like, this is what the internet could be and could help elevate and make things, you know, that get created that otherwise wouldn't have had a chance to and things like that. Instead of just posting like, you know, hate memes and stuff. But yeah, cool story. I always like hearing things about, you know, behind the scenes sort of how games were made. And this one had the added bonus of being, you know, two remote developers working together online, which kind of made it even cooler. So
I also really love they didn't meet until like 5 years after they'd been working together. Like how crazy.
Yeah, they made 2-3 games together and then finally actually met in person. So that's cool.
But yeah, I just think that's really neat. Like I just really goes to show how cool the internet is for all sorts of things. So
how cool it can be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's that. So you're into Hearthstone. You probably already know this, but the Knights of the Frozen Thrones missions are advancing along. The Upper Reaches were released this week, and they include like three really, really cool boss fights that I really enjoyed playing through. And you can either kind of brute force your way through them or just look up decks. And if you look up decks, you can pretty much automatically win. So there's only one difficulty mode on them, so really think carefully if you want to do that. But really cool, and they're totally free. So if you have Hearthstone, you can just load them up and play them and stuff. Pretty cool. So earlier this morning, Tekken Mobile soft launched in Canada, which kind of a interesting thing.
I haven't tried it myself, but I did download it, and impressions from other people is it's pretty much just Injustice with Tekken, same sort of like tap and swipe fighting. And kind of like a card overlay or card system used to collect and unlock and upgrade your characters. Also just like Injustice or Schoolgirls or whatever. So I don't know. I think it's cool if you are really into Tekken and you like all these characters and stuff like that, then this is a flavor of that type of game that's for you. If you're already heavily invested into one of the other ones, then I don't know if you would have time in your life for another.
Yeah, I don't know. But this seems like a strange IP to pull from. Like,
well, it's a fighting game, and so it feels like, I mean, Injustice and stuff. I'm surprised. This is what I always thought they would end up doing with Street Fighter, instead of releasing the one that they did that's an actual fighting game just with virtual buttons. I always feel like if they're going to make a new one, they would make a swipey free-to-play fighter.
Yeah.
So that seems to be what Tekken's doing. It's worked out well for Injustice and Mortal Kombat, so I don't know. Why not take a stab at it?
Yeah, I just, I don't, I mean, maybe people are out there like, oh my God, I'm so wild about Tekken. I can't wait to unlock every single dude, but that is not me.
Tekken has a pretty big fan base. They've released a few new games recently, so, and I think it's part of, I think the latest one's part of Evo and stuff like that. So it's a big, big fighting game brand. So no doubt there's people that are like, oh, awesome, I get to, play Tekken on my phone when I'm bored or whatever. I mean, quote unquote play Tekken, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. This didn't seem that impressive to me.
I like these types of games, so I'll play it.
So Guns of Boom, which that's another game we messed up the app icon on. App Shopper's broken right now. That's why nothing's
loading. I think that's why nothing's loading right now.
Whatever. So Game Insight has thrown their hat into the ring of interesting kind of AR kit sort of projects.
Yeah.
So the way this works is that it's kind of like a spectator mode kind of thing to Guns of Boom, which if you haven't played it, it's like, I don't know, Overwatch-y kind of Team Fortress-y sort of team-based shooter, right? That seems like a fair way to describe it, right?
Sure.
So the way the AR kit stuff works is that you basically can project like the game world onto a table or something like that and spectate people actually playing in augmented reality, which I don't know, seems kind of neat. I don't know.
I think it's the fact that it's augmented reality, whatever, I think it's a little gimmicky, but I think the idea itself is super solid because, I don't know, when you play first person shooters and then you're out and then you're kind of watching the rest of your team play. And it's usually just like you get to watch from their view and switch between members and stuff like that. When I feel like it'd be way more beneficial to have like that big overhead view where you could watch both teams going at it and see where people are going at the same time and things like that. And so this really offers you that, like a nice overhead view of the map and everyone as they're playing all in, real time. But it's also kind of projected into the real world and kind of walk around it and stuff like that, which is cool. I just think it's all around a really neat idea. I didn't think much of this when Tassos was like, this looks cool, I'll post about it. I was like, whatever. And then I watched the video and I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's neat. I tried the VR stuff for the Dota International thing. Like you can actually like watch from overhead like with the VR headset. That was actually really,
really
cool too. So kind of a similar idea. So following along with the 32-bit game drama. Today, PopCap officially announced that Solitaire Blitz, Peggle Classic, and Plants vs. Zombies, the original paid version, are officially retired, which really sucks because...
Sucks ass.
I feel like Peggle and maybe not Peggle specifically, more Plants vs. Zombies came out at a time where I feel like the release of those games is a real turning point where it was like, oh shit, like the App Store is a real platform now. Like they're getting like real games people are excited to play. Like I played through Plants vs. Zombies on my iPad and my iPhone, I think multiple times. You know, just about as classic of a game as you can get, and just kind of sucks that they're not going to get 64-bit updates. And
well, it especially sucks because it feels to me that this is just in an effort to get people to solely play their like free-to-play versions of these games.
Yeah,
and Peggle Classic is the full paid game that was on desktops, you know, years ago, came out on mobile years ago. But they also it has the whole entire Peggle Knights game within it as a IAP. And so you're essentially losing two games. And the classic version is still so fun. Like, I never get sick of playing through that game. So, like, it kind of sucks. It feels to me like I'd love to know more information on, like, if it was especially difficult to rebuild these in 64-bit or if there was some sort of issue that prevented them from doing it or something like that.
I promise it just comes down to, like, everyone's playing the free version now and it's not even worth it for them.
Probably, but that really sucks because they did update they did update Peggle Classic with widescreen and stuff after the widescreen came out. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I would prefer that at least that game stayed around. And the paid Plant vs. Zombies, I guess, according to people who have played it, the free one is more or less the same, just with added in-app purchase options stuff. So I think that, I don't know.
It's not a huge deal, but it's still one of those things where it's like, you know, if you've owned that game forever, like, just sucks. Cause, like, if you bought it on PC a million years ago, it still works on your PC, you know?
Yeah, so it definitely is lame. It's also lame that they came out with this announcement today after the games are already gone.
Yeah.
Not even giving people a chance to grab them one last time.
So. Yeah. So I don't know if anyone listening remembers the game The Wild, but I don't even know where you start with telling the story of this ridiculous thing. So... back in 2014, a team of developers came on the Touch Arcade forums, like a pretty impressive live action trailer and some other stuff for a game called The Wild. And it was going to be like this, survival crafting game, kind of like, DayZ and all those other sort of games, which are now super popular. And of course, they got everyone in our forum all hyped up with like various like concept art and things like that. Like the forum thread went on for 340 pages. People were so excited. And they just kind of went dark for years now. 3 years, I think, to be specific. Yeah. So they came out today to announce that they have officially named their studio. And it is Playground Design Studios, and they are going to start developing the game. that is seriously the announcement.
I hope that there's just something kind of lost in translation or something like that. That, I mean, what have you been doing the last 3 years since you announced this? It's just been like a really cool idea you've wanted to do and nothing has actually happened with it or what? Cause I want to say, I don't follow the forum thread, but I want to say they posted like in-game stuff from it over the years, unless I'm totally wrong. So,
but was that in-game stuff though?
Like, I don't know. So I don't know if they are just now starting, then it's like, okay, good luck.
the greatest bamboozle of our day, I think. So maybe we'll see. I don't know. This just seems like a really weird announcement to make.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, remember that game 3 years ago? Guess what? We're actually gonna make it.
We started and we have a development name now, studio name.
Cool. Thanks for that. That's about the end of the noteworthy stories of the week. As far as games are concerned, though, that came out this week, I feel like the star of the show is going to be Super Cat 2.
Super Phantom Cat.
Super Phantom Cat. I'm not going to import my save so I can start from the beginning. This is just a all-around really good platformer. I think is the best way to describe Super Phantom Cat 2.
I always thought the original was a bit of a surprise because I feel like everyone that's always like searching for the Mario for iPhone, I feel like this nailed a lot of the things that make it, you know, a game like that people are looking for something like that because it's really simple controls. and really just a focus on real classic kind of platforming, with a few interesting kind of like special moves and some different characters kind of mixed in for variety. But also, I just really love just how colorful and bright and just cheery everything was.
I think if I would describe this game in one word, it would just be happy.
Yeah, it's a super happy game. And so the first one was very, very good, and they released a lot of extra levels for it and stuff like that. And it was, a lot of people loved the first one. And then they were talking about bringing out a sequel. And the sequel so far really surpasses the first one in terms of, like, the animations are more detailed and the color palette's even more expanded. The visuals are just kind of bumped up all around. But it still kind of retains that sort of traditional platforming simplicity that kind of just really focuses on testing your skills through the different levels and fighting the enemies and stuff like that. Plus, there's an extra emphasis on the different characters that you can play as and stuff like that and unlocking them. So all around,
that
just
your cat is always pulling out his Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, the idle animation for the cat is he busts a Switch out and starts playing it, which I think is so rad.
Is this game also on the Switch, or is it just on?
Not yet. I don't know if it will be or what, but they're obviously fans, which is cool. But yeah, this is just a cheery, happy, awesome game. If you like, those traditional Mario style platformers, I think you'll like this one. It was initially very scary for people because it launched as free, and there's a energy mechanic and some IAP stuff and in-game currency and all that free-to-play stuff, and people were kind of freaked out. But as it turns out, there's actually two different options. Well, there's three technically that you can buy in the store that are permanent IAP that will premium up the game for you. And so one of them's just $1, and that'll disable ads, but it will keep the energy system around and stuff. And then the second one is $5. And it will disable ads and just completely eliminate the energies part. So you never have to worry about that. So that's pretty much, if you just look at this as a $5 premium game, that's the way it is. And then there's another one that's $10, which is basically the same as a $5, but comes with more in-game gems or whatever, which you use to buy, the different things in the game that you don't necessarily have to buy. You'll earn all that stuff while you just play. So kind of unnecessary. So I would really just look at this as like a $5 premium game if that's your persuasion. And if you don't mind free-to-play stuff, then you can play the whole thing for free. So
I honestly didn't think that the free-to-play stuff was that aggressive. Like when I was fiddling with it on my phone, I was like, oh man, yeah, this is gonna be one of those games where, like, because the free-to-play stuff feels so like hands-off and optional, like it's just gonna totally bomb.
I don't know, and I think the in-game currency stuff is probably, you don't need to buy it for any reason really, but I do think that if the levels get harder and you die more, the energy thing might come back to bite you. So
yeah,
we'll see. But I would just say, if you like the game, throw $5 at it and just pretend it's premium. It's weird because I feel like this is the best of all worlds for everybody, but I also know it's the model that does not usually perform very well in reality.
For sure.
So I hope it does okay. I think the first one far exceeded their expectations. It actually did quite well in the App Store. So hopefully just kind of the name recognition of people that enjoyed the first one will see this one and download it. And if they hate the free-to-play stuff, hopefully they'll discover that you can buy out of all that stuff. The in-game wording is just terrible.
That was kind of what I like. I'm glad that you're telling me how the free-to-play stuff works, because like just playing it, I didn't really even know.
So if you I don't know if you can back out to the menu right now or not, but if you went to the store or whatever where you can buy the IAP stuff, you can actually tap. There's these like little present icons, and it will then give you a text dialogue of what you're actually buying. And so that I feel like is just not very clear in the game. It doesn't like get up in your face like, hey, you can buy see the little presents that are kind of pulsating. If you click on those, it'll tell you what you get.
See, I went to this before and I was like, I don't know, like, why would I buy this? It doesn't seem like I need any of these things. Like, in the future it gets way crazier. And
well, visually, it just looks like different packs of in-game currency, like every other free-to-play game. There's nothing that indicates that it would be buying you out of ads or energy. So you have to actually click the present icon to see what you're actually buying.
Yeah.
So I really hope they quickly update and make that a lot more clear, because I think already I've seen a few people that downloaded it and played it and even looked in the shop and didn't see anything that said, disable ads or remove energy. So they were like, I'm over this game. I hate free to play. And in fact, they actually do have the option they were looking for. It just wasn't, detailed.
I would able. like specifically say like, hey, 99 cents or whatever, remove ads,
Yeah.
$5, no energy, and then
Yeah.
like have the little gift thing be, hey, you can, we also give you a bunch of the currency in the game so you don't need to grind it or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So hopefully it doesn't come back to haunt them or, screw up the performance of this game, because it really is a fantastic game
Yeah.
from what I played of it so far. And it seems like it keeps throwing more and more new, neat things at me. So anxious to get going with progressing more in it. But
Yeah.
it's if you like the first game, this one's better already, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and I always feel like iOS is really kind of lacking as far as like really good platformers are concerned.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a very, very good one. Nothing but good things to say. I don't know, like the free to play stuff seems so. I kind of want to keep plugging through it without paying.
You should and see how it goes, because I almost agree with you that I think there might not be a need for it anyway. So if that's the case, then that's actually unfortunate for them. They probably won't make any money on this. But even if you I guess that wouldn't be totally true, because you'd still be seeing ads and stuff like that, and there's still the option to like double your coins and stuff with ads after you beat a level. But so maybe they get a little revenue that way. But as far as like the in-game currencies, I don't know if there's ever going to be any reason to buy that stuff.
Well, but of what you've played so far, have you really needed the coins for anything?
Not that I've seen. It
That's.
just goes towards your level up, I believe.
Yeah. See,
So.
like, when I was playing through it, I was like, all right, well, like, I can watch an ad to double my coins, but I don't really know what I want to spend my coins on anyway. So, like, why do I need to double
I'm
them?
pretty sure the only thing is just the unlocking the different characters, which happens by getting them by shards or whatever. So you get little pieces of characters, and then once you get enough, you unlock one. So I don't think there's a way to even speed up that process, even if you did want to pay for it. So yeah, I'm not totally sure why you'd want to buy the in-game currency, but I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know, but
Play it. Either way, just try it and
either
play
way,
it.
just download Super Phantom Cat 2 because it's very good. So this I don't know how you pronounce this. Is Zlatan Zlatan Legends?
I don't know either. He's like a soccer guy,
I don't know
football
if
guy, right?
the L is silent or the Z is silent or if you're supposed to pronounce them both. So
I don't know anything about it.
Zlatan, maybe. So this game's really cool, and I really hope my progress transfers over to my iPad, so I don't need to go through the whole tutorial. But it's like soccer mixed with a. All right, cool. Soccer mixed with a racing game, I guess. So we'll play through one race here and kind of talk about what's happening as I do it. Let's see, get going here. There's it's this. So the annoying part is this is like free to play, the free to play game. Like every free to play shenanigan you could possibly have, this game has. Like it's kind of absurd. Anyway, so you kick the ball, and then your ball like bounces around a futuristic kind of like racetrack of sorts. And then anytime when the ball is moving, you can hold the screen and kick again, and that controls where your ball is going, if that makes
What
sense.
the?
Like it's so strange. Like I don't know what the soccer player dude like really has to do with anything, because it's like just kind of like a physicsy racing game of sorts.
This is weird.
Yeah, really strange when I played it the first time, because I don't know who this guy is. Maybe if I was into soccer or something like that, it would make sense. But so you actually like race against a bunch of other people.
It's sort of a cool mechanic, though,
Yeah,
that I don't think I've seen before.
so you like you hold down on the screen and like drag in any direction. It's kind of like an Angry Bird slingshot mechanic, and that's the way that your ball gets kicked. And then you just kick it down like a racetrack in space, I guess. And level up and earn three different currencies and
Ooh.
level up all your gear and guys and unlock chests and I don't
So
know.
all the everything free to play you can imagine is in this
Everything
one
free to
game.
play. Yes, it is unbelievable. Like here, I'll go to the home thing here and we'll just look through. Like, there's an inbox system. I can claim my launch bonus, get my launch chest, and we'll go open the chest and see what we get. And
Yeah.
sure enough, I got, I don't know, three gems, which give me different ball
things.
stuff, and this is probably gonna give me some. I got a new ball, and I think I can level up the balls, and of course I can buy more loot crates and change out my gear and like level up all my gear and get 3-star stuff. And
It's funny
it's
because like games like this, like I will definitely get really heavy into one and play it and go all out with a crazy free-to-play game like this. But more and more, this sort of thing just gives me fatigue. Like when you open a game and the UI is just crazy, a million things to pay attention to, and there's all these different in-game currencies and items and stuff like that, and then there's like a mailbox you also have to check, and
Oh,
that's
it
what
gets even
drives me.
better, dude. So there's these NPCs that will like train you, and the training is on a real-time timer, but you can also like send them on missions. Well, I guess I can't
To
do it right
level
now because
them
I need
up
to
or
level up
something.
more. Yeah, so you level them up. It's unbelievable. And what's crazy is that like it's unfortunate because when I played this, I was like, damn, this is a really cool game. I wish I could have just bought it for $5 because I like the mechanic. But like
Yeah,
I'm
it's
really probably not gonna stick with it because I don't want to lose races because like, oh, that guy's got a 3-star ball that he leveled up and all
yeah.
this zany
Well, it's
ass
unfortunate
shit.
because, like, on one hand, stuff like that, I feel like, okay, if you get really into a game and you take the time to learn all the crap, it can be really compelling and give you a lot to do and give you, like, long-term goals where you can end up playing a game for years and years and years. And typically, you don't have to pay, you know what I mean? But it's like you don't really have enough time to play as many games as there are that are like this. So, you just kind of like it's kind of like a book. Like if you get hooked in the first few pages, you just go through the whole thing or whatever. But a lot of times it's like, man, I'll give a game even like 20 or 30 minutes and still not sure what's going on, and there's still tutorial stuff and blah blah blah. And I'll just kind of see the writing on the wall and be like, I think I would have liked this game, but I just can't. And so I'll give up on it and move on. And it's not like, I feel like it hasn't affected my life for the worse by skipping games like this. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird double-edged sword because I think there's a lot of people out there, and especially if you like this guy and know who he is and follow, whatever,
Whatever
that you might really get into this
sport
sort of thing.
this man is famous
This
in.
person, this person. And if you're outside the U.S., then you probably know who
Oh,
he is.
see, I just beat a race. I got a crate, 5 gems, 500 credits, and my energy has been refilled.
Cool.
And I got
Yeah, I just can't
10%
anymore with it.
bonus, a bunch of fame, 3 Goran tokens, whatever those are. I don't know. It's just a cool game,
And
but
what sucks is like the mechanic is neat, and even if it was just like a high score endless game, super simple, whatever, it would I think be better as like a 99-cent arcade game than a crazy free to play out thing like this. So
yeah. I don't know, but that's Zlatan Legends, which I don't know. Cool, I guess. Jazz Smash. This is a game that I downloaded and was like, this is dumb, I don't care. And then played a little bit more and was like, actually, this is really good. So it's and you're not gonna be able to hear the music, but it's this like tapping game where you tap to swing this baseball bat to smash stuff that's being tossed at you. But it's really clever because like a lot of games that rely on some kind of rhythm mechanic, I feel like really phone it in and actually have like nothing to do with rhythm. But when you're playing this, like your actual like when you smash stuff goes along with the music. Like there's this like jazzy backbeat and stuff like that. And as you smash, that just perfectly lines up with kind of like the different like beat of the songs
Well, that's
that it goes
cool.
along with. So it's like this super basic mechanic that you just kind of fiddle with. Like it's kind of a mindless thing. Like you'll just be listening and be like tapping your foot to the music and just kind of like also tapping your thumb to destroy stuff.
I was like, who thought that jazz and smashing items would go well together? But apparently they
Don't
do.
know. And like you level up and you eventually get like more stuff to smash, which just kind of like adds to the depth of like the song creation, I guess.
Oh,
Because
so the songs get more complex?
Each thing you smash has a different kind of like I don't know, noise that goes along with it. So that's kind of where the complication of like the actual music comes in, I think. So I don't know,
Interesting.
just a really kind of really cool free game. And the way that it seems to monetize is that you fill these experience bars up, and then like every once in a while, they'll be like, oh, you just missed your next level. Do you want to watch an ad and we'll fill up that experience bar all the way? Which,
Not too bad.
yeah, seems pretty cool. And it's got like the gifts that roll on a real-time timer and all that junk. So, but Jazz Smash, just real quick, seems worth looking at.
You got me interested enough that I'm gonna download and check
Should.
it out.
So Peace Out is the cool puzzle game of the week. This game, it's kind of like if you took the iPhone slide to unlock mechanic and was like, hey, let's build a game around this,
Well,
right?
it's interesting because it's really similar to like the block sliding puzzle games that have been super popular for years and years and years. And my own personal favorites were the Kiefer Brothers, who did Blockwick 1 and 2, and those games are fantastic. But it's that sort of idea mixed with I don't know, I don't want to say Tetris, but sort of Tetris-y style ability to actually like spin the different shapes inside the puzzle. So you have, one block which starts at one side of the puzzle, and then you have to get it to a goal point on the other side of the puzzle. And very often there's blocks in your way that have to either be slid out of the way, but you can also spin them, which is kind of the twist on most typical block sliding games. And it just works super duper well. I think somebody explained it really well in the forums, where they were like, this is a really good mixture of puzzles that you tinker with for a while until you figure out a solution, and other puzzles where there's a very specific set of things you have to do to complete it. And it's like a nice mix because, it's fun to kind of just tinker around with the puzzle, but it's also fun to figure out the actual ultimate solution for it or whatever. So no, you were good. Slide your purple down after that.
What?
No. Get your red back up into the right corner. Sorry for non-video watchers. I've got to walk Eli through this puzzle. So then you get up there and then you slide the purple down. See how the arrows show you? So you can both slide and spin some of the shapes in the puzzles.
This is by Ku Mobius, which made Bean Dreams, right?
Yeah, Bean Dreams and Bean's Quest and Duet, all those games. And so yeah, it definitely has a high level of, polish and production values and stuff like that. Plays incredibly well. It's just kind of a one-handed game too. And yeah, just nice. It's not like time pressure or anything like that. You can just kind of like dork around with the puzzle until you figure it out. I think the only in-app purchase, I think it's free and there's probably ads. And I think the only in-app purchases removes the
Yeah,
ads and
remove ad for a buck.
also lets you unlock all the puzzles right off the bat. As it is right now, you have to beat a puzzle to move on to the next one. But if you paid the in-app purchase, then you'd be able to jump to any of them whenever you wanted, which is always kind of nice. If you get stuck on one and you're really just sick of trying it, you can just move on to something different and
Man,
come
there's
back to
a lot of content in this game too.
so many puzzles, and there's daily puzzles, and yeah. So it's cool. It's definitely a departure for them, I think. They're more action game oriented. Of course, the Bean games are platformers, and then Duet was really kind of a Twitch game. So this is more along the lines of just a relaxing sort of puzzler.
Oh, there's daily puzzles too. That's cool.
So super good value, I think, if you are into puzzle games. You're going to get a crap ton, and I wouldn't be surprised if they released a bunch of puzzles in the future and stuff like that too. There's definitely a lot of potential to expand it, but already it comes with so many, and they get very, very tricky. So yeah, if you like block sliding puzzles, Unblock Me and Blockwick and things like that, I think you will dig this. It'll be right up your alley, but it's a little bit different enough that it's not just another one of those.
Yeah. So my surprise game of the week is this Datawing game, which man, this game is good. So this is made by ex Halfbrick Dan. I don't know if you
Oh,
remember
yeah.
him. So he built this game that is just like so much better than I was expecting when I first saw the screenshots. It's just silly. So what I like about this game, Datawing, is that it has kind of like a overarching, like very nebulous story mode that kind of reminds me of like World of Goo, where there's this kind of like computery overlord kind of thing that's like, telling you to do things, and presumably there's some type of overarching thing that you're accomplishing. Like it seems like you're working inside of a computer doing something. But like the crux of the game is this kind of like if you combine sort of like the mechanics of blasting around in like an asteroid style game with like a racing game. So it's got this really cool mechanic in that. So the game consists of these tracks, which, you know, you're just a triangle and you're kind of floating around with a little rocket booster on the back end of your triangle. But the way that you boost is by like surfing the edge of the track. Because like your actual like rocket booster will propel you extra when you're like kind of drifting around the edge.
What? That's so rad.
Which is like the craziest mechanic. Is like you got to kind of like figure it out and finesse it yourself. Like it doesn't really like tell you too much other than like, hey, boost around the edge, you know, kind of. And like the whole aesthetic of the game is really cool. It reminds me of the various like kind of like hacker themed matrixy kind of looking games that have come out on the App Store.
Yeah.
And the music kind of reminds me of like Luminous in a way. And it's just like unbelievable, like the game, the things that this game does with this like basic mechanic. Like you get thrown into races with like ghost opponents, like I have in this race that I'm in right now, and then there's other races where you're kind of like racing against I think they're like game center friends and stuff, and then you know, just time trial stuff and all sorts of other junk. It's really crazy how well it all kind of goes together. Which is pretty nuts, because like I feel like if this game had like any one of these things, like, you know, really cool Luminous style music or really cool like visual effect or anything else, like that in itself would be enough to kind of stand alone as like, oh wow, this is actually like unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
But when you combine everything together, it feels like a game that should have come out in like, I don't know, like 2010 or whatever, when like, you know, mobile games are starting to get really, really cool and people are willing to, you know, pay $5 for a game like this.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, I just, everything about this game is awesome.
So I was just looking in the forum thread about this, and the game is totally free. No ads, no IAP, no nothing. It's just a free game.
What's the catch?
I don't think there is one. I think he just wanted to make a game that was a total throwback sort of thing. And he even specifically mentions wanting to have something that had like an actual little storyline that goes along with it. And yeah, I don't know why it's free.
I would actually. Oh, another thing that's really cool about this game is that, like, so some of the races that you do, you're able to kind of like cheat the course a little bit. Like you don't necessarily always need to follow the track, which is kind of a really interesting mechanic, because like you'll fail a bunch of times and be like, God, why aren't I able to beat these guys? And be like, well, what if I try this shortcut that none of the AI opponents are doing, and then like suddenly you'll win.
Damn.
Which this I would say almost, I don't know if I want to say the best game that came out this week, but it's certainly in the pool.
Biggest surprise?
Yeah, definitely biggest surprise. Because like when you looked at the screenshots at first, I was like, I don't know, like another like, you know, very basic,
another triangle like, going in a minimalistic game or whatever.
Like another triangle. Yeah, no, I mean that's exactly it, because there's been like a million kind of like minimalist kind of triangle games, and like so the. I think this is like the third or fourth level right now, and it's kind of messing with the gravity, so you have to like boost off the side or else you get stuck and have to restart.
Crazy. It's a shame, because I did the exact same thing when I saw this game. I was like, cool, it's probably some little arcadey thing, whatever. You just sort of see the same style game so many times that you get not excited for it anymore. Yeah. And then had you not brought this up to talk about on the podcast or whatever, I would have just continued thinking that it wasn't anything really especially unique or whatever. But I also think it's a shame, because I think this style of game suits this visual aesthetic so well. I wouldn't want him to see him to do like a different graphic style just to stand out or anything like that. I feel like this suits the game. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess you can't judge books by their covers all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly it. Like, this game is so good, it's stupid, and I can't believe it's free without any shenanigans at all.
Yeah, I guess he just wanted to make a game. That's kind of cool. I wonder if he would ever add stuff to it down the road to try and make some money, or if he just doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't know. But
some people don't care.
It's been a long time since I played an iPhone game that has, like, an original iPhone game. It's not a port or, you know, a Telltale game or something like that, where I've been like, damn, I need to keep playing this to see where the story is going, because, like, this is so weird. What's
That's really
happening?
cool. I'm glad this is on my radar now. I'm totally gonna grab it
Yeah.
this weekend.
But yeah, so that's Datawing. A very, 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 very cool game that I guess is totally free, no strings attached. So everyone that's listening to this should go download it.
Interesting.
So with that, I think that's all the games I have on my list today. So Super Phantom
But
Cat
all
2, really good, and Datawing, both really good. All these games are really good. Just download them all. With that, thank you very much for listening to this whole show. I forgot to mention the Patreon backers at the beginning, so we'll double dip next week and mention them first as well. But thank you very much for Adam, Andreas K, Mark B, Simon O, and Josh P. Thanks for joining us on Patreon this week. And as we mentioned at the start of the show, this site and podcast is brought to you by Patreon. So if you like this show or things that we do, go to patreon.com/TouchArcade. Check it out. Alternatively, you can do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. Helps us out quite a bit. Or you can subscribe to us on Twitch at twitch.tv/TouchArcade, or just come hang out in Discord at discord.gg/TouchArcade. We always appreciate iTunes reviews of any kind, or word of mouth. If you know a friend that is always playing crappy stuff on their phone and you want them to check out the good stuff, tell them to go to Touch Arcade or listen to this podcast or whatever else. And if you want to send us an email, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. And with that, I hope everyone has a good weekend. And if you're driving down to the Eclipse on Monday, drive safe and all that fun stuff. But otherwise, we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.